Jesus said to the disciples, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen, even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my God in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Today, September 10th, 2023, marks my 6-year anniversary of being the pastor of this congregation. Now, I arrived in Soldotna a little over 6 years ago so that I could be ready for my first Sunday, which was September 10th, 2017. And I moved from my previous call in the Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma, where I had served a small Cherokee congregation and as a chaplain to a nonprofit that raised American Indian children from different tribes and nations. To say that Oklahoma and Alaska are vastly different places is an understatement. But perhaps the most significant difference is when I noticed the other day that I stepped out my front door and I walked through my yard to turn on my garden hose to water my flowers. And I did it barefoot. Now, if you've lived in Oklahoma or the South, you know what I thought about, right? Snakes, right? Now, a gift of being in Alaska is that we don't have snakes, and we definitely don't have poisonous snakes, which means one that can easily walk through their yard without shoes on and not worry about being bit by a copperhead and being taken down, right? But while this small moment the other day was a reminder of how I've settled into life in Alaska rather comfortably, along with things that I have now learned from my time of being here, like where the slope is. That was one of my early questions. People talk about it. If you don't live here, you don't know, right? Where the slope is, right? What the PFD is. And while I still don't understand even a fraction of the fishing regulations, I do know not to state a public opinion on fishing regulations. So that's really 90% of fishing regulations in Alaska, not to have an opinion on them. But one of the things that struck me about coming to Christ Lutheran on that first Sunday, and I should say that some of those folks were part of calling me, so people like John Lilovic and Sue Stein, and I think I saw Marlene come in and Elaine, right? Those were the folks that said, "We think this should be our next pastor." And there's a big foam board, and I actually still have it. I put it out there so people can read it. And it's filled with pieces of paper where people offered their responses to the set of questions of how they hoped that they would live as the church with their new pastor. Now, many of you have come since I've started, so you didn't have to fill out one of those questions. And my predecessor was here for 24 years. So for this congregation, hiring a new pastor was a really big change. In fact, there were some pretty big changes that weren't even anticipated. On that board with the questions, one of my favorite things is that someone very sweetly had to go through and cross out every he or him that described how you hoped your pastor would be in the community, how you would get to know him, and what you hoped he would focus on and where he would put his energy. Surprise! You had a baby and it's a girl. Now, I just had to laugh when I saw it, but aside from that, I found it really interesting to read these little kind of comments, right? These little things that folks said that they would do in their life together with their new pastor. Their hopes and dreams of what it would mean. Most importantly, I read this question as, "What will you do to support the pastor?" Now, people wrote varying answers of pray for him, show them around the community, serve on committees, etc. Now, people, some of those people are you all, wrote in essence that you were going to be the church, the community of people who would show up and support this new mysterious pastor and work alongside this person for the sake of God's word on the Kenai Peninsula. Now, 6 years later, I doubt that many of you remember what you actually wrote. Some of you weren't here then and never had to write anything down. Some of you, or some of the folks who have written questions, have since left, since crossing out the he's and him's were too much for them, and that's okay. Others have since moved or passed away or found their way to a different congregation or community. Now, while I stand up in front of you every week and I often make my little jokes and tell my stories, and I hear your prayer requests and I serve you communion, the church isn't actually about me or any pastor at all. In fact, the pastor should be the least significant player in the church. Really. Because when Jesus is describing what the church is, the ecclesia, the community of believers in Jesus Christ, he isn't describing the church as a hierarchy with a set of rules and doctrines that the pastor is the master manipulator of. Instead, the pastor is in the thick of it with you, struggling to figure out what to do with her own life or his own life and their own journey of faithful relationship to the divine. So if you think about the way that you might have answered that question of supporting a new pastor, what would you answer that question but for a non-pastor? How would you fill in that questionnaire when asked how you might support a new person in the ecclesia, in the church? Now, I hope that the same answers would appear for a non-pastor as a pastor, to pray for them, to show them around the community, and to do the work of the church together. That's overwhelmingly what the answers on that board say. We're asked directly at certain times how we'll do this work as a church when a baby is baptized, when new members are welcomed in, or when we install the church council. We're asked if we'll pray for each other, if encourage each other, and join each other in the work of the community. But one of the markers that is unique for a Christ-centered community, a community of Christ followers, among other things, is that Jesus invites us into relationship with each other. Well, that can't be so bad, right? Being in relationship with each other. I mean, it's just a bunch of other people who also kind of want to learn what God is doing in their lives, who want to learn from Jesus, and to love each other like God does. That should be easy. Except we're human beings. And human beings have opinions and thoughts and feelings and conflict. And if you think that you're exempt from conflict because we're a bunch of nice church people, then I have a hard truth for you. Because church people are some of the worst with conflict. I swear it's our spiritual gift to be terrible at dealing with conflict in the church. In fact, my brother once told me that he has no time to be part of a church where people sit next to each other in the pew, share the peace, are very sweet, have coffee together, and then as soon as they walk outside, they start talking about each other in the parking lot. He saw this in our home church growing up. He said they can't even make it home before they start failing in the one thing that Jesus said was most important, to love one another as I have loved you. He's like, they can't even get it out of the parking lot, and they have already messed up the one commandment from Jesus. And the early church was no different. See, Jesus gives very clear steps as to how we might be able to resolve conflict with one another by addressing it directly with a person we are in conflict with. And if that doesn't work, bring it to the support with one another and hear the conflict. Now, some faith-based organizations and churches actually write in their guiding principles that they use the Matthean conflict resolution model, referring back to these steps laid out in our gospel today, right? It's very ordered. There are steps. But what I think is the most important part of all of this isn't just the exact steps, but the idea that to be part of a faithful community, to be part of the church, the ecclesia, the community of people who proclaim Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, means that, yes, we commit to praying for one another and encouraging each other in our faith to join committees and welcome babies and elders, but it means that we commit to showing up and being the church. And being the church means that we're going to have to deal with our conflict. It means that we're going to have to do a thing that is scary and hard and uncomfortable. Because following Jesus wasn't for the faint of heart back when he lived a human life. And if we're following his teachings now, like really paying attention now, it's no walk in the park either. A colleague of mine uses this phrase because she says a lot of times we really like to say that we're going to make a safe space for all people. And she says, you know, when we say we want to make a safe space for people, it's to process or learn or resolve conflict. When in actuality, my colleague says, a safe space isn't a space for any of those things to happen. Safe space is for people to remain unchanged by the world around them or their own experiences. Instead, she says we need to show up and create brave space. A space where we can be brave and share of ourselves and experience what the other has to share as well. And this is going to be really uncomfortable. If we show up in community, in ecclesia, in the church, expecting it to be easy, then we're missing a deeper invitation from Christ. By coming together and creating space, brave space, where we acknowledge and address our conflicts, working to build up rather than tear down, working to pray for one another and support one another in our journey of faith, then this is what our calling as the church is. It's not the building, it's not the pastor, it's not the size of the group or the type of songs that are sung, it's not how much is put into the offering plate or what kind of programs happen throughout the week. But being the church is about creating brave space to love one another while in conflict with them. Because that's really what conflict resolution is. Loving the divine in the other, even when you can't see it, feel it, or sense it from them. It's the coming together with all of our messiness and proclaiming that the love of Jesus Christ is bigger than anything that could come between us. Anything that could divide us, anything that can separate us. When I am feeling my most conflicted with someone, I find myself trying to pray for them. And I pray that prayer honestly. It's not all sunshine and roses when I'm in conflict with someone. But I say, hey God, I am really hurt right now, and this person is making me really angry. And depending on the situation, I might use some more colorful words. But God, help me see you in them. Because right now, I want to throw them out the window. That's a legit prayer, don't worry. Because by even praying for that one that I'm in conflict with, I am stepping into a brave space and being drawn closer to this person, and where we gather, God is present. When we choose to enter into brave space, not safe space, but brave space, and address the ways in which we have the capacity to be harmed and to harm, God is present. So I ask you, how might we be brave this day? When some folks met as the inaugural hospitality team, they talked about welcoming first-time visitors in by actually introducing themselves. They talked about the importance of greeters to welcome people, help them find the bathroom or the kids' bags. But what does week 2 of relationship look like? Or week 5? Or week 564th, right? Some of y'all have raised your kids together and have known each other for multiple decades or millennium at this point, right? What does it look like to enter into the brave space of being the church, the ecclesia? What does it look like to make a commitment to one another, not just who's in the room, but to the community of folks around us? Jesus says, I am among you. So where are we headed in this brave space together? Thanks be to God. Amen.